So, what are your favorite moped sounds?
The sounds of a non-canned soda.
I don't know, like touch of flower, is it moving? Like, no, it feels pretty locked up. Sounds like you're fucked, dude.
Oh boy!
The womp womp womp. You fucking blew it!
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Moped Monday podcast, episode 250. Who would have thought we'd still be talking mopeds after all these years? It's ridiculous. I can't believe it's still happening. Dude, I got someone new on the podcast tonight. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, man?
Hi, I'm Richard Wirth. I got a little side hustle called Wirth It LLC. I'm into mopeds. I'm into fixing things. I like working with my hands. I like designing things. And that's where we're at.
Hell yeah. Dude, so like, I'm trying to think the first time I heard about you was like, I think you gave some intakes to the dude that does the YouTube thing or something.
Yeah. Andrew Martin at Lesto Cycles. Yeah. He was on, I think it was Facebook. He just kind of put out a little questionnaire, who does custom parts. And I was like, hey, I do that. I got intakes. So I sent him a couple, and it was kind of crazy because after that, Pookshop in the Netherlands, they reached out to me and they said they wanted some. I'm like, okay, well, how many? And they placed a pretty big order, so I ended up sending quite a few intakes. Chris Snyder over at Pookshop. He helped us out a lot. We got our first really big order. So I got they asked for distribution rights in the EU. So they're my only distributor out there. But, yeah, that worked out really good. I got Andrew to thank a lot for that. That worked out terrific,
dude. Yeah. Like I had him on the podcast, and like his his moped journey is like one of those odd ones. Like there's definitely like different, like there's like moped clubs and there's like individuals and there's people who like are doing active things in mopeds that are like completely unrelated to like the overall scene. Like, they're like, you know, left field, third party, like doing their own thing. And it's like working out. It's like, dude, like his YouTube channel does pretty good. He's consistent. He's got his Discord page, which is like, it's pretty big Discord. I'm like, damn, like this is own form in its own. I'm like, it's wild that like you can like stumble into mopeds and kind of make your way like without being attached to like all the other people that are like around.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna lie, I until recently I didn't even know how the community's enormous. And I'm learning more and more as I go, and it's crazy. There's so much content and so many people out there doing so many different things. It's insane.
Yeah, it's odd because it's like it's such a small hobby, but like and everyone's really spread out, but like we're all like pretty well connected like via the internet, you know, which is it's like, how are you like this close with people that live this like so far away that you see like, you know, twice a year, if that? It's like I have friends in mopeds that I never see, you know. It's like, but we're cool. We're cool on the internet, like, you know, like we've been on a couple rides together. But I don't know. It's funny. It's just a weird hobby for sure.
It is, and it's a big community, so lots of support.
I know we're gonna get into like your like shift hub thing, but I kind of want to save it for later. For those who like don't know, and if you've not seen Wirth It's Instagram page, he's got a really cool part that he's like testing and doing stuff with that's kind of like game changing. We've had some pretty serious game changing things in mopeds happen in the last year, I think. Last year, 2 years, like treats, getting like Hobbit mags like reproduced, like freaking unobtainium for years that were costing absurd amounts of money, and now they're like readily available with brand new brake hubs. Freaking brand new rear pulley parts, like the Vespa part game is like exploding. Like the ZA50's got fancy new cases from, you know, from a local dude in, you know, in town. I mean, like, in the community, like, fucking E50 is about to get variated. Like, there's so much wild shit happening in mopeds. Dude, the Mr. Ice Cool from a couple years ago, and, like, I don't know. It's, like, the part game compared to, like, the generation before me that was in mopeds, like, Hell Satans were, like, this was the big club in Richmond back in the day. Like, when I was, like, you know, I'd see mopeds around town here and there, but I didn't have one. Like, they were doing their thing, and it was, like, They were ordering, like, all the bikes were pretty much stock, and they were, like, ordering, like, you know, bit turbos and shit from different countries, having to go to, like, you know, forums and, like, get it translated to, like, you know, get some parts, you know, shipped, and hopefully it shows up. And now it's, like, all this shit's exploding. You can get it whenever, wherever. So.
Well, yeah, and if you want original parts, it's hard to find anything that, you know. These bikes are like 60 years old now.
It's trying
to find original parts. It's really difficult.
It's like they're gonna keep getting older. It's like I don't think about how old they are sometimes. I'm just like,
right,
yeah. It's like, why don't these
kids going like 60 miles an hour on a bike that's like 60 years old?
Yeah. Oh my god, why don't these damn kids get, like, go buy a broken moped and fix it like we did? Like, this is bullshit. Yeah. Like, I can't believe, like, they want to buy e-bikes, and I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like, these things are so old.
Yeah, lower threshold to get into. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They used to be so cheap. But they're still cheap compared to an e-bike, but you know what I'm saying. But yeah, dude. Yeah. So before we go deep down that rabbit hole and get into your parts and stuff, kind of let's talk about how you got into mopeds, because like we've discussed, a lot of us kind of like got in the same way, but it's so like widespread on like the different lanes that people come from and find themselves in the mopeds.
Yeah, I got a reputation as just a guy who would like collect other people's broken things and fix them. Mm-hmm. And I think for years I would just, on my ride to work, I'd go through little suburbs, and, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and, you know, my little ride, 15 minutes, I'd go through a bunch of different communities and people throwing out lawnmowers and snowblowers, and I'd collect them. I'd take them home. It usually was just a carburetor cleaning to get them going again. And, you know, before you knew it, I got like 30 lawnmowers in my garage, and I'm on Facebook Marketplace trying to sell them. So I had a little side hustle for years, just like fixing stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And I eventually had a couple coworkers who were like, "Hey, you want a Honda Spree?" I'm like, "What the hell is that?" And so I fixed it up. I got it running, sold that. I'm like, "Okay, well, that was kind of fun." And then another coworker was like, "Hey, do you want a Pook?" I'm like, "What is that?" And he's like, "I don't know what it is." He just had a Pook moped. He kept calling it a Pooch. So I started looking up what it is. I'm like, "Oh, maybe it's a Magnum. Like, that's a really cool bike." And it turned out to be a Maxi, which is fine. But God, I was immediately just like hooked on what people are doing. I was on Instagram, like finding people building, you know, these crazy, you know, little contraptions, these race bikes out of old vintage mopeds. So I finally got it, like $50, like you said, really cheap back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And, yeah, I got it running. I still have that bike, and that is like the test bed for like a lot of really cool parts. So that was definitely my introduction to mopeds there. Nice.
Dude, I like that. That's a good way to stumble into it, you know? Like,
yeah.
You were fixing stuff. Someone's like, "Hey, you want
sailing upwards," moped, I think is what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I feel like I had an easier because there was like already a moped scene in my town, like in my city, and it was my city's pretty small, so you know, I just see them around all the time, and they were going to the same shows I would go to, and like, you know, lots of like cross like mingling of friends, like, and I'm like, cool, they threw like oh, the moped club's throwing this party, and so you show up on a bicycle and it's like,
yeah,
all these mopeds everywhere, and I'm like, dude, this is crazy, where all these bikes come from? And like, you know, my roommate ended up getting one. I'm like, okay, well, no, now I kind of see it every day. And I was like, I still don't want one. But like, it just like, it slowly like worked its way into me, dude.
Yeah, there's an allure to it that, once you've been around it enough, you're sucked in.
Yeah. And like, you know, your friends are like, "Oh, I'm taking this girl on a moped date." And you're like, "A moped date?" You know, like, mopeds and romance.
Yeah, there's something exciting about just these small little machines that shouldn't be able to do the things they do. And it's more impressive that they can do it.
Yeah.
And they've survived this long. That's why I like them so much.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what's that? 1973. And you pick it up and you can carry it.
Like, yeah. It's like, I can curl this thing. It's crazy.
Like, and like we went for a ride today. And it's like, you know, nothing crazy, but we hit, you know, 55 miles an hour crossing a bridge, you know, with your buddies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, like, that's plenty fast. I'm like, I know the bike can go faster, but I'm like, it's already going 55. It's not worth working. It's not worth the time working on it if it's already riding that fast. I'm like, it's fast enough. Don't touch it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
So you found yourself with these bikes and, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of were tinkering on them. Did that lead you down a rabbit hole of finding like Moped Army and like Treatland and all these parts and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I started tinkering with the Pook. I was going to sell it, but I was like, I knew it had a little more to give. So I got my first DMP kit with, I got it from Denny's Cycles. Nice. And, I got the DMP, I bolted it up and it was running like, oh, this is great. And, little did I know at the time it was not tuned at all, which, you know, it wouldn't be because, you know, it's everything specific to a bike. So I'm riding and like, oh, I don't know how this is. It's not riding quite right. And I just liked it, but I didn't know it had more to give. And I think I put something on the moped forum and I'm like, well, what can I do? And like, well, what jet do you have? I'm like, what's a jet? Like, this is how, like, I was completely
green.
Exactly. And I had no clue what I was doing. And I kept, you know, once you know there's so much to do, I'm like, ooh, what else can I do? And I trim like, you know, 2 millimeters off the intake skirt and I'm bridging the boost port and porting and polishing. I just went like full tilt on this bike. And it was after I moved to Florida, this is like 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, I started kind of putzing around, seeing what else I can do. I took my stock intake, which was like the 90 degree, I think they call it the grandpa intake. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm trying to like hone it out, try to get a little more smooth. I'm like, there's gotta be something better than this. So I'm looking around, there's plenty of options. I think Ryan Cranksy had like a nice welded one. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I can do that. And I started tinkering. I had a 3D printer. I'm like, well, let's see if I can just print one in plastic. And I made a really nice curve to get connect up the square port to the round port on the carburetor.
Yeah.
And it worked until it melted, which we just kind of expected. And I spent a long time trying to come up with the best way to make them myself. I was going to do like lost PLA castings, a bunch of different ways I looked at it. And I finally found this resin, this high temp resin from Form Labs. And it had like every box was checked. It was like, it could do it all. It's resistant to chemicals. You can dye it. I found out afterwards that you can dye them.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I made some really cool parts. And still, actually, it was
still 3D printable.
3D printable on a Form Labs printer. You can make them right off the machine. You got to heat treat them, which I bought a lab oven to do the heat treating. But once you get them completely heat treated, they're good to go. You can do virtually anything with them. They're great parts. And it was Dana at Treats. They kind of helped me kind of get the ball rolling on this. And unfortunately, 2020 came, and I sent them. We had a small order. They were just going to try them out. And COVID hit, and the package got lost, and then a whole bunch of other stuff happened. So it all fell through. But I kept trying to sell them myself, and it was successful for a little bit. And here we are, and Pook Shop is my distributor out in the EU.
Nice.
So, dude, crazy little path.
Shout out my buddy, shout out my buddy Dana, dude. Fucking he's from Richmond, so he's from this town.
Yeah, I heard one of the podcasts I was listening to recently, I heard the name come up. I'm like, oh, I know Dana.
Yeah, that's my bud, dude.
Yeah.
That's stupid awesome. Pirelli of his breaking down every rally.
that's awesome. So that's where I got started with the printing. That was,
not
the printing was cool stuff. I like doing that a lot.
Nice. So, like, how long you been 3D printing stuff? Like, that's like one of those. It's like another like odd hobby. It's like I remember like when I started, people were doing them, and I'm just like, As long as it's like, it's like I have like no clue what I would do with it. It's like a toy you want to buy, but I'd never use it. It would just sit in the corner.
There's a perfect meme out there where it's like, oh, you got a 3D printer. What are you going to make? And they're like, I don't know. I can make whatever I want. But then they're like, well, yeah, what are you going to make? And it's the perfect meme because I sometimes I'll sit and look at the machine. I'm like, why am I not printing something right now?
Yeah.
But I do a lot of like little practical stuff for like around the house, like hooks for the garage or, mm-hmm. Yeah, just anything that you need. It's a really cool machine if you can, you know, fully utilize it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 And they're getting relatively inexpensive now. So I fully recommend getting one if you think you have the patience for it. Because it's a bit of a learning curve for a lot of these machines.
Yeah. Dude, I saw like the new, like, I don't know if it's still like in a Kickstart phase, but it's the mini lathe. It's like a really small, it's a really small CNC machine, and it's like a box, and it's freaking, like, it's got
I think Creality's making something like that.
Yeah, it's got that.
Oh, no, that's what you said. Never mind. They got a laser.
What's that? What's those styrofoam cups with like the red and blue freaking splash on it? You know what I'm saying? It's like that classic vintage like cup look, and it's like the blue like splatter on the side. I can't remember what the fucking cups are, but yeah, that's what the machine looks like. And I'm like, oh, this thing looks sick, but it's also I would never use it. I make wheel spacers in my living room like every 5 months.
Yeah, I found that if there's anything I need made that's like stronger than I can make on a printer, I just call. I send it to SunCut Send because you can get so many different parts, different profiles, and you get it out of steel or aluminum, whatever you need. It's really good. But I have a sprocket on my bike right now, that the one with the shifter hub that I had to trace the profile that was going to go on the hub. I had to, because they didn't give me the dimensions for it, I had to like kind of trace it out, and I printed one in plastic, like, oh, it fits perfect. And I sent it to them. I have a sprocket that's just a straight laser cut sprocket that fit perfect. It was so nice.
Nice.
But yeah.
It's like one of those things, dude, I really wish I utilized more. I feel like a lot of people are probably in the same like vein as me. Like there's machine shops and there's fucking wood shops in like every town. Like every town's got a fucking machine shop and a wood shop. You can do like all these things that you think you need all the time. And instead I just like go buy it new, or I try to find some shit that already works. And I'm like, that's the last thing I think about. It's like, why didn't I just go to the fucking dude down the street that is a machinist and can like make this part for me for like $50, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the last thought. I'm like, I need to utilize it more for sure.
Oh yeah. The 3D printing, by trade, I'm a mechanical designer. I've been doing that for like 15 years. So I'm pretty skilled at getting stuff drawn up in CAD, copying things, making things from scratch, whatever I need.
Yeah. That's a good background for what you're doing.
It is. Yeah. You need to have a little information in that field.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So like, how else has that like helped you in mopeds? Have you done like any other like parts and stuff, just working on your own projects?
Okay, so the rabbit hole on this bike that I have the shifter hub on, it started as like I just wanted a tank top bike. I thought they looked great. I wanted to find one. And so there's a guy in Tampa, they just call him Tampa Steve. He runs Tampa Vintage Mopeds.
Yeah, we know Tampa and, Steve.
he's a character. I like him. So I went up there. I have a minivan. I just drove. I was going to buy a bike. I had my heart set on a bike. I think it was a Revival. What the heck brand made that? I don't even remember now.
Tomos.
So I was like, really? Tomos. Okay. Thank you. And, I was like, I want to get this bike. I want to get this bike. And then Steve's like, well, you want to look at this bike over here? And we go and look, and it's a Girelli. I'm like, I've never even heard of that before. So I'm looking at it, and it was, the tank was covered in Dragon Ball Z stickers. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Over 9,000.
Oh yeah. I had all the feels for that bike. And, so we talked a little bit, and, so I decided to get the Girelli, and I got home working on it. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the stickers off. Little did I know, the stickers were keeping the gas in. It was pinholes everywhere. It was a nightmare. Oh God, so much fuel I spilled.
Oh my
God. Yeah, so I learned how to clean and seal a tank. And
Bourbon Steve strikes again.
Yeah, and then he and I actually talked about the Peugeot bracket, the motor mount bracket that welds to the bottom of the frame.
Yeah.
We were chatting, and he's like, yeah, these are like worth their weight in gold. I'm like, yeah, I can draw that up for you. So sure as shit, I draw something up. I drew up a flat pattern so we could get them stamped out of, you know, steel. And I was ready to like make a small batch. So I'm like, okay, let's go into the business on this together. And it never really went anywhere. So here I am. I've got like the drawing for this bracket that apparently people just want to put on any bike. And I haven't done anything with it. I'm not sure if he's willing to go in on this still. But I guess if the offer's on the table, we can maybe start making some Peugeot 103 brackets. Yeah. To retrofit some bikes.
That'd be cool.
It would be very cool. Yeah, I even saw there was a Gorelli that I think it's called Cherry Bomb. Someone took a Peugeot 103 and mounted it to the frame of a Gorelli SSXL, and it looks beautiful. That's such a cool bike.
Yeah, I've seen that bike. That's a cool bike for sure. Cool. I pulled it up. I'm looking at it right now. It looks hard, dude.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't know. This 103s are great motors. Like the French game's awesome. Mm-hmm. And any part of mopeds is making the bike your own. So frame swapping is like, you know, pretty big in the scene. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Ryan from Cranks just started making, V1, mounts, you know,
really?
Steel V1 mounts, like you can weld it on anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So
nice.
It could be a good move.
Yeah,
French holds makes deep though. Like you got to find the people that are trying to dive down that French game.
Yeah. So I don't know if you looked at any of the other posts I had, but this was over a year ago. I added a 2 kilowatt electric motor to the Gorelli. This is before I did the shifter hub. So it was I 3D printed a motor mount to mount this motor in the frame. So you got that nice big opening. So I had a 1 kilowatt hour battery, 48 volts, and this 2 kilowatt motor. And I contacted Charles McCluster at Aerosport, and they helped me make some custom hubs and sprockets. So the sprocket, the output sprocket on the motor drives up to the electric motor on the near side. And then on the far side, just enough distance away from the sprocket so you can get two, like basically make a jack shaft on the motor, down to the pedal shaft. So this is like three different sprockets doing the work of two. So you drive up, drive down, drive back. So I added 2 kilowatts of electric to the motor, and it worked beautifully. It was the craziest thing I've ever done. And it was working great until the motor gave out. It was either the motor or the controller. And so I abandoned ship on that recently, and I just put a 70cc, it was a Pollini, I think a Pollini kit on the Gorelli, and that just rips. It's such a cool, that's a cool set. Yeah.
Gorelli's a cool bike. Like they got a cool look, and it's like the people who are into Gorellis are super into them. Like our buddy Stefan from the Buzzards is big Gorelli guy, but it's like, I've personally never been into them. Like I couldn't get past like the clutch thing. And
well, that was a pain in the butt. Cause the one I got was the clutch was all swollen. And there I am with a drill and it's a belt sander. I'm trying to shave it down because the guy is drawing oil in it. And ultimately I got, I think it's called rubber duck clutch. It's like it's a different material. Some guy on Facebook was like, hey, I got these. You want one? I'm like, yeah, okay. I just dropped $20 on it immediately. And it's just got a higher salt on the engagement. And you can run all sorts of different oils in there without it swelling up. Yeah. You need like non-detergent oil for those original ones. It's just a pain in the butt. Like SAE non-detergent, 30 weight. That's not easy to come by. And when you do get it, it's like, okay, I've got one bike that uses this. So I'm going to, this quart's going to last me forever.
That's the same stuff I ran in the in my V1 when I was like playing V1s, not non-detergent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's Strigaria. That's like it's Italian for witchcraft. That's the name of the bike. I love that.
Dude, so you know, you tried you went e-bike game, you did like, you know, the drive stuff. Like when did the idea to do the shifting hub thing kind of come about?
So I knew there were like mechanical like shifters back in the day. Like I think Sturmey Archer, they had like a 2-speed hub. And I just kind of, I think I knew about this from like a while back. I'm like, do they still make them? Is that something you can put on a bike like this? And I don't think that they're rated for, you know, quite a lot, as much power as you get out of on these bikes. And then I found, I think it was Falwell Technologies. They made this new Vinci hub. And I knew about that for a long time, but, I think they were just like crazy expensive at the time. But about a year ago, I was looking again and they had this N330. So it's about 330% change in gear ratio from top to bottom for like $100. And it was like wheel and sprocket out of like Madison, Wisconsin, I think. So they had a sale and I'm like, oh, I got to get one of these. So I picked it up and I kind of played with it for a while, kind of seeing how it would fit. And then one day I just had to drop the ball and like commit. So I laced it up with the original spokes on the hub, 'cause it was like almost exactly the same size. Mm-hmm. And it had the right side drive, which I'll come back to in a bit. So the right hand drive, because it has a freewheel, and if you pedal the bike, it'll drive. But once you stop, it just kind of goes like whatever with the freewheeling. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it was a good fit for the Gorelli. And I was like, all right, we just got to give it a shot. So laced it up, gave it a shot. The spokes were just a little bit too long, so I had to order shorter ones, come back to it a little bit later. I had to 3D print, or not 3D print, the I had to get the sprocket laser cut because they didn't sell the right size sprocket.
Yeah.
And so I get a bunch of this stuff done. I had to do custom dropout adapters because you have to handle the torque in the swing arm. And then I still had to mount a brake. I didn't have disc brakes on there. So that was like, I think when I test drove it, I didn't have brakes on the rear wheel at all. I went full send. I had plastic printed parts. And the great part of it is it just worked. You could shift. And I think I had a pretty good gearing just because I used the original sprocket size. But even with the 3D printed sprocket that I made just out of plastic that I had, I think I still got to like 40 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
And I was, I shouldn't be riding these bikes with 3D printed plastic sprockets.
No way, dude. This is so mopeds, though. It's like,
I'm not recommending any of this to anyone. Don't do what I did. But if you want to have fun, sometimes you got to take a risk. And so I got everything kind of working, and then I committed to some metal parts. And it's just like a week ago. I'm like, hey, I was talking to my wife. I'm like, so hop on the Pook. I'm going to hop on the Gorelli. We're going to just post a little video and show people what I'm working on. And then you guys message me. So that's where we are.
Dude. I mean, it's so cool. Like, I want to, so many questions. So how do you actually shift it?
Okay. So it has a push pull. At the beginning of the video, you can kind of see it's called an interface. And it has a splined ID, and it rotates left and right, clockwise, counterclockwise. Mm-hmm. So as you shift, that turns the interface. And really all that does is it turns the internal gears. But the actual mechanism inside is pretty neat. It has an input and an output ring. And in the middle is just basically just a cage of ball bearings. But mm-hmm. those ball bearings are pressed against the inner races of these contact rings. But the bearings actually have a tilt, and the interface is what shifts the tilt left to right. So as you're shifting from left to right, it actually, it does basically what a variator does, is it changes the contact speed on one side to the other.
Yeah.
So you're able to shift just like a CVT. It's exactly like a CVT.
Nice.
So I have on a hand grip, it's just, that's how they sold it, like any old bicycle shift grip that you would have, mm-hmm. you know, for shifting through your derailleur gears. That's exactly what I did. I wanted to have a jockey shifter. So eventually that might happen. I'll have like, you know, indents for different gears. So if I had shifted really nice and smooth, you wouldn't have heard the gear shifts. but I wanted to make sure you could hear it in the video. So I, you know, a nice aggressive shift. It's roughly three gears, I guess, is what you would call it, three or four gears. But yeah, 330% from the top to the bottom. So you can accelerate pretty quickly. I was surprised how nicely it accelerates for it, you know, having what would be normal gearing would be really slow. If it was just straight gearing, it would be, you get up to speed and there you go. You're enjoying yourself. You're hitting 40 miles an hour or so.
Yeah.
But this will do significantly more than that. I haven't really had a chance to put it through its paces yet.
Do you know how fast the hub's rated for?
This one, I don't know. But if you go to Enviolo, the website, they have basically what would be considered an upgraded version of this. And those are rated for, I want to say, 800 RPM, which with a 22-inch wheel is something like 50 miles an hour. But, and I contacted them. I was hoping to get more information to share with you guys, but they haven't gotten back to me yet. But if I did my math right, it's between like 50 and 60 miles an hour is what they're rating it for. And they've got pretty good torque numbers. It's pretty impressive. So the extreme one, like 100 Newton meters max torque, which I'm not going to try to do the math in my head right now, but, that's pretty impressive numbers for, I think those are set up for like e-bikes. So whatever e-bike can do, you know, you could probably compare most mopeds to that and feel pretty comfortable.
Dude, that's sick, dude. It's such like it's solving a problem in such like a different way.
Yeah. Well, and I know that was one of my biggest issues. I'm like, well, how fast can I go? And you talk to any moped person and it's constant with Facebook and the Moped Army. It's like, how can I make it go faster? I'm like, oh God, that question again. You change your gearing, and with these single speeds, you've got a limit. You can only do so much, but you add gears, there you go. You can actually change the gears and do quite a lot more.
Yeah.
So my hope is that I hear back from Enviolo and they're going to say, because what I want to do is put it on a Pook. If I can do the left side drive, but you need to pin the freewheel, you need to drill and pin it so that you can drive it in reverse. Which I don't know if it's rated for. Like, for all I know, all the internals could completely fall apart. I don't know what threads are in there and if it can go in the opposite direction. But the ultimately, that would be the goal, is to make it a kit for the Pook. Because it was almost direct swap on this Italian bike. It's almost no real work at all, just besides the custom sprocket.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm even looking at a 3D CAD model of the hub. You can download it from their website. You can see exactly what you need to do to make it all work.
Nice. And then just like, you know, get a stack of sprockets made, you know, different sizes. And like, all right, boys, we're in the game, dude. Who wants this new shit?
I'd love to think I could just buy a pallet of these hubs, modify them, even like lace up the wheels and, you know, brackets for mounting a caliper to the swing arm. Yeah, that'd be game right there. It'd be so good.
Yeah. Dude, freaking, you can partner with our friend Lizzie Wheel Solution. She's like in the moped scene and does like, she laces wheels in the Midwest.
Yeah, I'm not qualified for lacing wheels. That was not a lot of fun.
Partner with her, dude, she'll bang them out, dude.
Yeah. That was the first time I've ever laced a wheel, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's not my game, dude. Like, I rode bicycles for years, and I was like, I'd just take my shit to the bike shop, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, some stuff you got to leave to the experts.
Yeah, last thing I want is like a wheel exploding on me, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. Or you over torque one spoke, and that's the one that blows up, and then all of a sudden you got
wheel
on a header
crumbling behind you
downhill. Yeah,
dude, fuck. I mean, I think of like this hub, I'm just like, all right, well, I think like first thing I thought about was downhill mountain biking, and I'm like,
yeah,
well, these guys are fucking hauling ass, bombing fucking snow fucking mountains, like, you know, freaking the ski slopes, you know, they're flying and they're jumping and they're landing on crazy hard surfaces, and it's like, if like mountain bike hubs can hold up to that, like,
yeah,
it's got to, you know, it's like, yeah, like the shift stuff's a little different, but like, I'm like, they got to be able to make it strong enough that it like it can hold up to like a moped going 60.
I would think so. And some of these, they actually have what's called an automatic shifter. And I don't know how it works because I've never played with one, but I think if you had the technical know-how, you could probably set it up to shift automatically depending on your speed. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, so it's like ZA, cool, like it's got two speeds. It's got two speeds. Like the downfall of the E50 is that like when the first like fast E50 I ever rode was like one of my homies' Magnums, and we went on the ride, and I'm a big dude, so it's like that bike sucked dick off the line for me. Like I could, like when he rode it, the bike went 60. When I rode it, it took me fucking 20 blocks to get to get into the pipe to be able to go.
If it's breezy, you're in trouble.
It was like it sucked off the line. Everyone would leave me. I'd fall behind, and then I'd catch up, you know, on the top end, but then I'd hit a stoplight and it'd be all over again. So
you're right. Yeah. I've got I've got the original two shoe clutch, but I got the heavy springs and they are all the way in.
Yeah.
And, I can't even like go around the neighborhood here, 'cause it's like 20 miles an hour. And I'm burning up the clutch just trying to go the slowest speed possible.
Yeah. And it's like, I love an E50, dude. I think they're awesome. Like, but like,
oh, they're bulletproof. They're great.
To make them fast, like off the line and on top, like it involves like doing all the things, you know. Okay, you need the kit, you need the pipe, you need the intake, you need the carb, like you need clutch springs. You probably should put a better clutch in it. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, well, you're doing all this, you're gonna get heat, so you probably should get some ice cool or some kind of thing to help you, like, you know, siphon off some of the heat. Like, oh, now you're going so fast, you're gonna need brakes. Like all the things like add up so fast, and it's like, just so you can compete with like a variated bike or, you know, a two speed. And it's like, well, this could be like an easy solution, so someone could like be just as fast as some, like, you know, basic Tomos, you know, with a kit and a pipe or something. With like, having to do as much work.
You can put all the power into these bikes that you want. You can make them super strong. You can do an awful lot, but you still have the racers who have to like kick off the line and they're just got their little feet dragging on the ground, trying to get to just up to 10 miles an hour before you can actually accelerate.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you could add gearing just by swapping one part out, that's a game changer. I'm excited to try one of these heavy duty or extreme hubs.
Yeah.
So I gotta get some information back, because like a lot of the housing is screwed together and it's probably meant to be one directional. And if you start driving it in reverse, I'm pretty sure you're gonna have the whole thing just completely come apart on you. So
think they would already make it, like, you know, to go different ways. Like this one, you buy this one, it goes this way. Buy this one, it goes the other way. Who are they to know what it's gonna go on? Like, you think they would have two?
I would like to think so. I think it's just so bikes are so ubiquitous to have the right hand drive. Yeah. You just like the pedal drive is always on the right. So they just, I don't know if they ever planned on putting one on the opposite side. And at some of the parts that I'm looking at in 3D, it looks like they might have made some changes to make them symmetrical. So maybe they have a plan to do that. If they're listening, they really should. Wink, wink.
I mean, it's like a whole, like, another, like, you know, market, dude. Like, you guys don't want to miss out on the market share. Well, maybe let's go.
I even looked up to see where they're located. They're only about an hour away from Poop Shop.
Okay.
So I could maybe message Chris and be like, hey, you want to go give them the elbow nudge and see if they can get this done for us?
Dude, it's sick, dude. Like, it's such a cool idea. Like,
yeah. Well, and I feel like I saw something in the message board years ago about someone asking about it. And at that time, I think I was already thinking about it. I'm like, why hasn't anyone tried it yet? And I don't want to think I am the first one to try it. Someone may have, but it's crazy to think that, like, with the right hand sprocket drive, like, you could just completely swap out all these bikes and have a totally different, just a completely different operation on these bikes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's totally different.
There's like every shifting bike you think of in mopeds, like it's all like internal, you know, like,
yeah, the shifty 50s shifty or 50, whatever,
shifty Gorellis, yeah, you know, Tomos, mm-hmm, ZA, all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, they need all the parts inside and make it do this thing. And it's like, this is just something you don't have to take the motor apart.
Exactly.
You
literally
take a bike, yeah, you already have this running and working, and be like, oh, cool, let me put this hub on the back. Mm-hmm. Now I have two speeds. Like, that's, it just seems so simple. It's like,
yeah,
for like plug and play. And think of all the people who have E50s or, you know, some single speed Gorelli, mm-hmm, or some single speed Sachs, or, you know, all the single speed bikes out there that like could utilize this. Like, oh, cool, you got, yeah, a single speed, but you want to climb hills still? Like, we got you.
Oh, yeah. We can definitely move some hubs. I'm sure there's enough people out there who would benefit from this. And it doesn't change the feel of the bike at all, besides accelerating faster. There's nothing, it doesn't make it heavier. It doesn't make it handle weird. It's just slap it on and call it a day.
How does it feel during the shift? Like, have you, I don't know if you've ridden other shifting mopeds. I don't know if you have something to compare it to.
I just rebuilt a Trail 90, like a 1965, and that's got the auto clutch. So it's got like a 4-speed. So that, you can flap the gears around, and you can tell the shift, and it feels like you're shifting a bike. I rebuilt a 99 Katana, and it was a 600. So I kind of learned how to ride that. But this shifting through it, you don't have to slow down. You don't have to take off. You don't have to let go of the throttle. You just shift the gears, just pull through the gears. It just shifts automatically. So that's pretty nice, especially when
pretty smooth.
It feels really smooth. And since it's such a huge reduction, right off the line, acceleration feels impressive. Like it's hard to explain, because like the Puk I have is at the 70cc. When you accelerate, it's like, okay, here we go. Now we're going fast. But this is just like immediate. It's immediate. It's so cool.
Dude.
It doesn't feel like the bike that I built. It feels like someone did something, got superpowers or something.
Like,
now I'm probably overselling it. I don't want anyone thinking this is the fastest moped ever built. It's not. It's definitely not. It just feels good. It feels like it has a lot to give. And
but like,
yeah,
I don't take it as that. I feel what you're saying. And it's like, I've ridden Tomoses, I've ridden Z8s, I've ridden all these bikes, I've ridden like really fast, like kitted everything, mm-hmm, you know. Oh, cool, dude, yeah, your bike's sick, let me take a small ride, spin around the block. So like, mopeds are cool, people let you ride their bike. So if you ever want to ride someone else's bike, just like, yo dude, let me test that out, everyone's gonna say yes, you know, like, mm-hmm, you eat shit, ha, yeah, that's your fault, give me money, yeah. You know, fix my bike. But but it's just like, dude, it's like, I've ridden fast Puks that, like, there's, yeah, they're E50 at single speed, and I've ridden ones that are like fast off the line. Like, one of the homies from fucking QCB has claw clutch, fucking all the bells and whistles, mm-hmm, fucking,
yeah,
Polini, fucking Gila ported, like all the bullshit, and it rips off the line, keeps up with fucking varied bikes. But you know, it's single, mm-hmm, speed, and you know how much you had to put into it to do that. And like,
yeah,
and just thinking about, just being like, what if I just had a bike that was geared to go 30 miles an hour only?
Yeah.
Like, that's,
oh, yeah. And you,
that's,
I want to see it on like a stock bike.
Yeah.
If you put it on a stock bike, it could make it just feel completely different.
Yeah. It's like, you might be able to like, so is it a taller top gear? Do you know the,
I think it's something like it's like 330%, but it's like down, not quite half. So on the bottom end, it really all depends on what the gear sprocket is. So, but it's down like, I don't know, 40% up 60, something like that. So like, when it's in the middle of the shift of the total transfer of gears,
it's
like, yeah. So yeah, it would be like 1-to-1 effectively. But I think on the bottom end, it's slightly less than it is on the top end. So it has more reduction at the top.
Okay.
Or more.
Because I'm trying to think, increase, if like, if you could just take not stock, but like, say like, mm-hmm, slightly modified, like, mm-hmm, ported stop in, like a 15 millimeter carb and like a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah,
cool. You up the bike, so it doesn't go 35 anymore. It could go,
yeah,
it could go 42, but like, now that you have the sprocket on it, it takes off the line like you have a 70 kit, and your coasting speed is like 45. Like if you're doing, if you get it to like take off the line like it's got a, like it's got a bigger kit, and like and, and coasts like chill, like riding speed be 45, then you have a bike that can completely keep up at any rally in the whole country and do all the things for the cheap, which is,
or you do the opposite and you make it a sprinter where you only gear it for bottom end and you could just rip off the line. That would be fun. What would the acceleration feel like? Yeah, exactly. On a 60-pound bike. Yeah.
Like literally, like that's like, so like I've, I don't know, anyone who's listened to the podcast in the last fucking 3 years, because I've been like talking about this stupid bike for 1,000 years. But I want to build a Pook Cross, like how the European like have these like fucking fancy Pooks that are dirt bikes, you know, like Pook Cross, and it's looks like a dirt bike, but it's an E50, and it's only geared super low. So
yeah,
I was like, I want to build this bike and be really fun and just go ride trails and stuff with it, like. Take it to rallies and like have it just rip off the line. But I was like, you know, I bought a Gila kit and I bought a fucking hammer clutch and I bought all, like, I bought all this shit because I know I need the all this stuff to have the torque be really hard, and like I have to gear it super super low. Like I'm like, I don't want the bike to go more than 40 because I need it to like have torque so I can like climb hills, and like to be able to like throw this hub on that setup and be like, cool, well, now I get all the added benefits of having really low gearing, but I can, like, shift gears and still, like, ride normally.
Well, yeah, and you take a lot of the stress off the engine, too, if you can take, you just reduce the heat because you're not, you know, screaming at 13,000 RPM just trying to, clutches. You know, on the flats, you know. You can shift around a little bit and, try to spread the heat.
Dude, I'm so excited about this, dude. I hope you get it figured out. Especially, too, like, our other homies got, like, a variated E50 case that he's working on.
Was that Lee Pinkerton? Was that?
Not Lee.
I was listening to Lee. What was it?
Fuck. I heard it off my head. It's not Lee. It's,
It was like, what, 3 podcasts ago?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 podcasts ago. It's like Shima Tech.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I'm so bad with like remembering names and shit, dude.
No, but he had to tilt the cylinder up, right? To get all that stuff to fit in there.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like bolt on. Like you can bolt on this like variated case half and run variation on your E50, but it's still gonna be chain drive. So I'm like, in my mind now, I'm like thinking about the best of both worlds. It's like, all right, cool. You can make it E50 variated, so you have belt and like pulley, and like that's gonna be sick. But like the pulley size is limited because of what you can fit in the setup. So it's like, oh, well, what are you gonna do to like fix that portion? Well, now we have a solution. Mm-hmm. It's like, you might be limited in the pulley, but now we can get the sprocket hub.
Put it all together.
Yeah. This could be sick. This could be the ultimate shit. Like, talk about for all the boys who want the bells and whistles, you know? It's like, all right, well, you just buy all the GoFast shit. You buy all the cooling stuff for your transmission. You get the variated case half. And then you're like, well, you know what? I need one more thing. And you get this hub. And then you show up at the rally with this, like, a ripper, like, $4,000 moped.
Oh, God, yeah. Just blow them all away.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just sold, like, a bunch of shit out of my garage. I'm trying to, like, you know, raise money to, like, you know, ethically, like, fix my bike. You know, it's like,
okay.
I need to do this without spending money that should be, like, going towards bills and, like, the mortgage and stuff.
So adulting.
Adulting. So I'm like, I got to scrounge some free money to, like, play mopeds. And it's like, even with that, I did the treats basket, and I'm like, dude, like, I'm already up to like $800, $900,
and just waiting for that treats coupon code.
That's with a sale. That's like, you know, sale. You're still like $800, $900, and that's like not even like going water cool. Not even there's like a whole another like $500 like layer that you could add on top of that. You know, if you want to like really do all these things, and I'm just like, mopeds. Like are so of cheap until you make them not cheap anymore.
Yeah, or you buy an e-bike, which I mean,
yeah,
God. I still want one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm still coming in under an e-bike, but at the same time, I'm like, it would be nice to have like a Suron just a toy with, you know, like, yeah, I got a fully like modded out Suron in the corner. Like, we've talked about going halves before, like me and my buddy Thomas, like, yo, dude, let's just like, let's just buy one together, you know?
I saw a guy on an e-scooter, doing 45 with traffic today. I'm like, what the hell?
Dude, I've seen like those videos of dudes on like one wheels or fucking, you know, like
ripping
down the street. Like, you're like, dude, they are on another one. Like,
well, the one wheel that's like you're riding it like a surfboard, those are dangerous enough. But like the ones where you're like standing on the axles on either side,
like unicycle
style,
those
are terrifying. All you need to do is like slide on a blade of grass and you're going to eat shit and it's going to hurt because you're going to go face first. No stopping it.
The pain. Luckily, I've like only wrecked my moped like once in like the last, like, I think 4 years. So like I brushed it off. I walked away pretty quick and I was like, all right, like, that's good. I'm good for another 4 years. We're good. I'm like, I'm glad it wasn't gravel. Like, I feel great.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. So, like, you have any fucking other, like, top secret, like, moped missions you're, like, thinking about? Like, I know you got something cooking in the brain, dude.
I do. It's if this hub can't be adapted well or it's not going to be reliable, I have a plan to try to variate the hub. Like, I want to see if you can take stock internals for variators and make them axial and use a belt that's kind of driven in a Mobius pattern in order to make it shiftable. So if you can make everything fit inside of a hub, like just totally from scratch, like this would be shiftable, you know, be mechanical, something you can drive by hand, or could even have, it could be with weights that would just be an automatic type thing. So that's something I'm considering. And the other thing is I actually have an engine design that I've been working on for ages. Like before I even started mechanical design, I had dreams of making my own rotary engine. And it's something I might dabble in. I have a design. It's like something that was already patented before I knew it. Jack Ribbons. It's a Ribbons rotary engine. He designed it. They had a working prototype of it. Nothing happened. So if I can find the resources to actually make my own engine, it doesn't have to be for mopeds, could be for anything, but that would be pretty cool. So that's like super pie in the sky sort of stuff.
Yeah. Dude, there's a guy on YouTube we've had on the podcast who has a rotary two stroke.
Oh, is it a Wankel?
Yeah.
Two stroke.
Fuck.
Okay. Nice.
I'll find. I can't. Like I said, I'm so bad at remembering fucking people's things. Yeah, but I think he's from like the Netherlands or like out that way, and he's like, you know, full time YouTubing now, like working on like the world's fastest two stroke, like most powerful two stroke.
Oh, two stroke stuffing.
Yeah, two stroke stuffing.
I love him. I watch everything he does.
Yeah, his shit's like that one amazing motor he's doing's rotary.
Yeah, he's got the rotary valve. Oh, that's such a cool bike. I think he's shooting for what, like 30, 40 horsepower of a 50 cc?
Yeah, he's going crazy. He's going wild.
Unreal. Like, oh, God, yeah.
I had to take I was watching every one of his videos for like months, and I was like, I gotta step back.
Yeah, the stuff he does is like so, it's just way over my head. Yeah. I'm like, I totally know what you're talking about.
It's like I'm trying to follow and I'm watching what he's doing and I'm just like, and then it just got to a point where it's like, all right, dude, I'm spending like hours a night watching this shit that makes no sense to me and I'm not going to be able to touch. Like, I'm not like pouring my own casting, my own cylinders in my garage. Like,
He's like, he's plating all the liners himself. I'm like, oh shit.
Dude,
like batteries and
Two-piece, like, fucking pistons. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, you can screw the piston together? Encapsulated rings? Like, what are you doing?
That's just like, way, that's beyond my pay grade. Yeah. By a lot.
It's like, oh, fuck buying a new kit, dude. You can just buy sleeves and re-sleeve your cylinder. I'm like, what? Like, shit I would never think about doing, you know? It's just like, it's just so next level two-stroke. And it's...
Oh, yeah.
And I know he's like, talking to him, just like, he's so down the rabbit hole. He's like, you know, on like these crazy two-stroke forums. He's been like reading about this shit for years. Like, mm-hmm. he's super informed on two-stroke.
Yeah. Now he took one of his bikes to Bonneville, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think he got rained out or something. Like,
oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Like, he finally made it. It's like, he's got to come back. But it's like, dude, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I got a friend from high school, a coworker, Andy Pickett. He does a lot of motocross in Milwaukee, but he took a 50cc bike stock to Bonneville, and I think he set a record. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's sick. The place is cool. Yeah. I watched, what's that? I don't know. There's some movie about Bonneville that I watched like a couple months ago.
I think I heard about
it. That was really good, you know? It's such a cool place. It's like, if you've ever, for anyone listening, dude, you ever get the opportunity, you driving out west and like you get a chance to stop and hit the salt flats. Yeah. It's like, hopefully it's not wet and it's not flooded out. But like,
yeah, right.
You know, take your shit out there, ride around, be like, field. It's like the field of dreams, dude. It's like, yeah, like so much cool shit's happened in motorsports, like out here. It's like, I'm just riding, and you take it in and like enjoy it, get some pictures, and then make sure you fucking power wash your bike when you leave.
Yeah, get that salt off
before everything fucking rusts.
Eat it all.
Dude. Yeah, like I've never gone, but I know like one year we've had this discussion of like throwing a rally at the salt flats, which I think would be sick. Like, I'd be
that would be amazing.
Cool, like destination moped rally. All right, boys. Like, we're bringing the tents. we're bringing plenty of water, and we're just like gonna rally at the fucking salt flats.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That would be amazing.
Dude, hell
yeah. Lots of bikes broken down out in the middle of nowhere. Bring a toolkit.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So what's the scene like in Florida, dude? Are you actively like involved with like other moped people? I know it's kind of like Florida's got a weird scene, but it's kind of bouncing back.
So where I am, it's Southwest Florida, kind of near Naples. So it's a lot of old folks and a lot of roads that aren't the safest to be riding your, you know, small, hard to see mopeds. And, if there were any people around here who wanted to ride, I might consider it, but it's still, I'm like landlocked. If you can't keep up with like 60 mile an hour traffic consistently and accelerate quickly, you can't get from A to B. So unfortunately there's like no back roads to really enjoy. So in this area anyways, not so much, but you go to the East Coast, you've got all the moped racing, these guys who are, I think you talked about Tyrone. He
Tyrone, and Top Fuel, baby.
Snake. Yeah. Nitromethane and these guys who are just ripping on mopeds. And that's a little, I don't know. I don't like having a bet on my machines, especially when I'm trying to baby them. They're not trailer queens by any means, but they're not like meant to get abused.
Yeah.
But I mean, you put a shifter hub on one of those bikes, that might make it a totally different situation. Yeah, it could be. I was actually going to reach out to Tyrone about my intakes a long time ago and just say, "Hey, you want to try one of my intakes on one of your bikes?" But all his stuff is so custom. It's like, what good is that going to do you? But
they got wild stuff, man. Fucking King Snake, baby.
Oh God, yeah. I've seen so many videos. He's in my feed constantly, and. Yeah, they're it's pretty intimidating with the betting and the racing, and you know they go down to the Keys too. So that would be something fun to check out if I could get my bike on a trailer or something and go down to the Keys and blast around. So I've been down there once, and yeah, there's plenty of people on mopeds down the Keys. You got scooters, you got your Ice Bears with the super long swing arms, and I think I saw my first Onyx bike there. That was pretty neat. Nice. I love.
Yeah, they're
Onyx
cool. Yeah, we got one in town, and it's fucking. It's a ripper. Like, I don't want to ride it. Like, he's like offered to let me ride a couple times. I was like, nah. I just keep turning it down because I'm just like, I don't want to get. I don't want to get bit, dude. I want the bug to fucking bite me, and be like, I'm gonna buy one. You know, I'm like.
Then you look at your bike, like, why are you letting me down?
Yeah, it's like I'm just avoiding it, dude. But I don't know, Florida, like from like. From what I know, it's like, I know like Tampa Steve's down there in Florida. We a bunch of us came down there for the rally that he did in 2020. Like, I was like the only real rally that happened that year. So a bunch of us went to that. Mm-hmm. We hit Tampa. Like, I know, like, there's like the Dirty Petcocks were in Sarasota. I'm not sure how many of those guys are still riding. We used to go to like Inverness, Florida, like, which is kind of like middle of nowhere, swampy.
Yeah.
And do like,
we did
a lot of rallies in Inverness. I think we did like, went to like three or four of them. And then I know Orlando used to have a good scene and they're kind of like making a bounce back. I don't know. Florida's so big. It's like, it's, I feel like it's hard for you guys. Cause it's like, it's so, mopeds is such a small niche and it's like, it's good. If you're
it's such a long state too. If you wanted to get from A to, get to A to B, it's like, okay, well, you mean I got a trailer, these bikes, I can't just like take 4-5 hours to just scoot at 50 miles an hour to get to where I got to go.
Yeah. You can't go ride on a whim with like other people.
No. Like I love taking my moped to get just a couple groceries or, you know, get pick up Chinese or I got a propane can on the back of my moped once. That looked pretty stupid. Like it literally strapped to the back of the pook. And the guy who I bought it from, he looked really worried. I'm like, I'm good, don't worry about it. But yeah, I'd like to get involved in a community around here. If there isn't one that's already here, maybe I can help kind of build something up. There's a racetrack north of here, Cletus McFarland. He's got the Freedom Factory. What I think would be a lot of fun is, you know, maybe a couple of years from now, I'll try to get enough people excited about it and say, okay, well, I'm going to ask Cletus to let us use his racetrack for a moped rally. they've got a drag strip too. So that could be a fun event. If we could set something up, oh my God, that'd be a blast. Imagine like 200 mopeds doing a circle track and figure eight.
It'd be sick. Like I still like after the episode we had like with King Snake, it was just like, dude, we need to like figure out a way to get like the Florida drag scene to throw like an official drag rally. Like let's get it at an actual track with like, you know, an ambulance and fucking like, you know, a trophy for bragging rights. And like, you got to put it not in Southern Florida. That bitch is like, got to be like top of the key, dude, like way up, like almost to Georgia. So people show up.
Exactly.
It's like, no, it's driving, it's like deep
8 hours
Florida
to drive. 8 hours to drive from the north of Florida to where I am now. Yeah. 8 hours.
Yeah. My buddy's in Boca and I'm just like, I'm not like driving down to Boca Raton is like, you know, so out of the way.
It's so funny to like watch them racing and it's like, okay, car. Okay, game on.
There was like a rally in Florida last year, dude. It was the Space Coast Brat Fest. I'll send you the episode. I talked to him. It was like a young dude, like him and his, you know, he rides mopeds down there and was fixing them, like rides with his dad. And like, you know, he's been piecing bikes together and making them rip. And like, they got a good little like group of people. It's kind of like, they're kind of spread out still, but I think they're doing like a ride, like every couple months they do like a group ride. Mm-hmm. So I know there's, you know, there's some stuff happening down in Florida. And then was it the Dirty Fingers Garage is down there?
Okay.
The guys they took a bike out to the Pook Shops rally that they did, like the Pook Shop.
Really?
I can't remember what they call it. It was like a race. It was like a 24-hour like endurance race thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the dudes from Dirty Fingers, which is he's down in Florida. Him and like a couple other people, like they flew out there, dude, and they took a bike, like, which is kind of sick. He like broke the bike down and like took it on a plane. I'm like, damn.
He like put it in his carry on.
It was like, yeah, it was like a big ass bag. He broke the bike down and put it in a bag and checked the moped. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, this is like a hack, dude. Like, I'm about to, like, I was always like, I've heard of people going to moped rallies and it's like, yeah, you get a loaner. Yeah. And like, oh, you're going to the rally. I've heard of people like putting their bikes on a pallet and like shipping, you know, five bikes on a pallet to like somewhere who's got a dock or some bullshit. And like, yeah, dude, we're going to ship you our bikes and we'll get them when we get there. I've seen someone like mail bike, like they put it in a bicycle box and mailed it and then like, you know, rebuilt it when they got there. But I'm like, dude, packing your bike and taking it on a plane. That's a fucking hack, dude. That's sick.
Yeah, I wonder if you could like fit it in a rifle case or something.
It was like a big ass bag. Like I saw the videos of the bag you made, and he put it in. I was like, dude, this is sick.
That's legit.
It worked. And I'm like, man, I got to do that at least once, dude.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's like, how much, like, you just, like, you know, take the gas and oil and shit out of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
take the wheels apart, the forks off, and, like, the handlebars, and it, now it's packed down pretty small. Like, I get it. Like, I don't know.
That's awesome.
And it's just something about taking your own bike, you know, riding your own bike at rallies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I still haven't, like, taken my bike on a long enough ride to, like, know it's going to hold up. Like, I have trust issues with my bike because I've got so much weird stuff on there. I've got, like, a throttle compensator on the poop, which, because the standard twist grip on the, mm-hmm. the original poop's only got like 15 millimeters of travel, and I got a 21 millimeter PDHG, and it only opens it up about halfway. Mm. So I like kind of figured out, what do I need to do? So like literally mounted to the top of the slide, I have like a lever arm and just an adapter to lift the slide, and it just gives it more travel. So like, yeah, it works, but it's plastic. And if I'm out on the road and it's a hot day, is it going to melt? Is it going to fall apart? I actually had a break once already. So I gotta commit to like fixing things a little more professionally to make it more roadworthy.
I'm like, dude, yeah, you're just made for mopeds, dude. This is like right up your alley. Like, I'm like, you're going so like, just like MacGyver moped it, that I'm like, dude,
yeah.
I'm like, am I even that last thing you said, I'm like, dude, like just buy a throttle, baby. Like they sell them all day. No, they're cheap.
I can't do it. Oh,
like,
no,
you're like
the
ultimate tinkerer. You're like, I can figure this out, boys.
my solution is probably short term, and if it works longer than I expected, that's a success.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. My motto.
That's sick, dude. We gotta get you out, man. We gotta get you like into the scene and meeting more people and going to things.
Like, I'd like that. I rode my moped a lot. I used to take it to work all the time in Wisconsin. It was like a about 15-minute ride, and I'd just be like aching to get out. Like, it's like 50 degrees. There's like still a little snow on some of the people's yards. I'm like, I can do this. I got it. So I'm like, I got all my riding stuff on, and just anytime I could get it to work, it was a blast. You know, I kind of miss getting out and doing it more. I work from home, so I don't get to, you know, commute really at all. But
yeah, the trap.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Dude, there's a rally happening April 19th through the 21st in Georgia, in Athens.
Really?
Yeah, the Firing Squad's putting on a moped rally in Athens, Georgia, April 19th through the 21st. Like, we were just talking about when we went on a ride today, and we were sitting down to eat lunch, and we're like, dude, who's trying to go to this rally, dude? Like, it's been like, I'm getting the itch. I haven't gone anywhere in like months. I need to get out of town.
Yeah, that would be fun. I still got to like convince myself to get out and do something. I'm bit of a shut in, so it's hard to convince myself to go out and actually do it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, just fucking
that's not to happen. Just gotta, make it happen.
Just gotta get the strong boss in your head, dude. Fucking suck it up, you know. The other voice on your shoulder talking shit. Like, listen, dude, you fucking get off your ass.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely.
The devil and the angel know I have the asshole and the other asshole. Like, get up.
Oh yeah, they're both assholes. Gotta get them shut up.
Dude, so I don't know, man. What's interesting you? Like, what's kind of? I know you're doing such stuff that's like kind of like left field, but mm-hmm. what's kind of like keeping you in mopeds besides just like the tinkering and trying to do something different?
I don't know. Like, I just am fascinated by how you can make something just better, you know. And it's not always like a lot better. It's like increments. You can just kind of do this, do that. And yeah, if I don't think I'll ever not be into them. It's sort of a passion now. I just like fixing anything. And sometimes you'll see something and you'll convince yourself it's a problem, even though it's not. So now you're fixated on like, okay, well, how can I do that a little bit better? And the problem becomes an opportunity. So you just kind of keep going for it. But yeah, being able to shift a bike that wasn't meant to, I thought about like, how can I add a transmission? I'm like looking at where it can go. And that's kind of why the Gorelli was such a tempting bike. Those tank top bikes, they have that space in the front. Like, what can I put there? You know, you can put like a little shifter transmission. I don't know how that would work, but you could try to do something like that. But yeah, just I think for me, it's like the opportunity to fix something. Cause I had a Saks, Sundancer that I got from another coworker. I fixed that up, got it running. And then someone was giving away, a Pacer. Oh, what was that? Super Sport, or I can't remember that. But yeah, so I got a Pacer. And when you find something so broken that you like, no one else would want this, they just literally give it away. You just convince yourself, like, if this thing runs, I've done my job. And sure as shit, I got that one working. I got them all working. And it's just, there's like the dopamine you get from getting something completely broken back on the road. It's just awesome, especially with something that's like, it looks like it's about to fall apart. Like, it just feels so good. That's what I'm in it for, to find a way to keep these old things on the road. Like, that just feels, it's like nothing else like it.
Yeah. Dude, I kind of love that, because that's kind of like, I've talked about it a couple of times, but I never said it that way. And it's just like,
it's a drug.
It's a drug. It's like the gratification I get out of fixing my moped. It's like,
The first time it starts, kick it over. It's just working. Like, holy shit, I did that.
I did it. It worked. Like, I did it. I fixed it. Like, you feel like on top of the world for like those couple of minutes. Yeah. You're like, dude, I can't believe. Like, because you always like, if I follow the right steps, I do this thing, like, it should work. Mm-hmm. But like, when you're first getting into mopeds, especially for new people, that's when like when I was getting into mopeds, like I bought the broken bike that didn't work and didn't run. And it's like, cool. Like, I know it can run. And like, that's the kink I got out of it was like, oh, I got this broken bike and I'm gonna fix it. And it was cool. Like, I had this, like, it was a great feeling. And when you finally figured it out and it worked, and you're like, you kind of can't believe that it works. You're like, wait, yeah, this thing's fucking old as shit and it's running now. It's like, it's a great feeling.
The better part of it is, it's not just that it runs. Like, oh, you mean I can sit on this thing and move forward and, you know, go fast and maybe actually go in traffic. It's such a different feeling. Like, if you fix a lawnmower, it's like, okay, I can go cut the grass.
Yeah.
But this thing, you can actually go quick on. You can make it go quick. It's just, it's like a, it's an introduction. What's that?
It takes you somewhere. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's a metaphor, isn't it?
Like being a kid and riding a bike again. It's like, cool. Like,
yeah.
I got a bike, I got wheels, I can go anywhere. And it's like the same thing with the moped. It's like, oh, dude, I got this moped now. Like, where am I going to go?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a memory, just a moment. It was a few years ago. I was just out riding. It was just like down the street from me. It was like 90 degrees and breezy. And I shouldn't have done it. I closed my eyes and I'm riding at like 40 miles an hour. It was like I had like goosebumps. It was like, it's an amazing feeling. I it's hard to explain. You know, if you've never done it, you don't understand it. But yeah. God, that felt good. That felt so good. I did open my eyes, so it wasn't end up in the ditch or anything.
Find yourself a nice straight line, boys, and go close your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I have a mile long stretch near me, and that's where I do my pulls. So that's like, I know my poop will do 59 on a long enough stretch. I got a tuck to do 59, and I don't put CDI in mine yet. I'm still running points. So if I do CDI, that thing is probably going to tear my face off. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the next thing. I did actually do a DIY ignition system. I found someone online who was doing it with MOSFETs and transistors and magnets on the flywheel. I did it. I actually worked for a little bit, but maybe that'll be the next thing I do. I got to try to do that again. I have the whole kit. I got to just piece it back together. It's a whole 6-volt kit, run off a battery, and it worked. It didn't work great, but if I could, and they're using Arduino to like adjust the timing. So it does everything that like these pie cards do, but you can tune it. You can make it different. You can change what the RPM range and how advanced or retarded you want it to be at different RPM. So that would be pretty cool too. I'm not saying that's going to be something I get heavily into, but I want to play around with it a little bit more. So yeah, maybe I'll play around with that soon.
Dude, keep dreaming, buddy.
Oh yeah. That's all I do.
Dude, how do your friends feel about the tinkering? Like, I know it's like,
for a lot of us,
it's like mopeds are so odd that no one really gets it. Like,
no, you look at them,
you get them to ride it. Like,
Oh, okay, you're right. Yeah, but like half the time I'm like telling people what I do and it's like their face is just blank. They're like, And I'm my friend and I are going to hang out this weekend. I'm like, we're going to go on mopeds. He's like, okay, well, where are we going to go? I'm like, I don't know. There's a brewery right down the street. It's like, oh, can we do that? I'm like, yeah, yeah, we're going to go to the brewery. So we're going to get on mopeds. We're going to go down, have a couple drinks. And he's going to experience mopeds for the first time.
That's sick. I want you to text me, dude. Let me know what that smile was like on his face.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what it is, man. Like, you get out, you ride these things, and, like, they're so silly, and you just have a grin, and it makes you feel like a kid again. Like, oh, dude, like, just going on a ride. Like, it's nothing feels like riding a moped. Like, there's plenty of motorcycles, and I'm just like, you get on a moped again, I'm like, yeah. Like, this motorcycle's for the birds, dude. Like, my moped's awesome.
Yeah, I think another interview you had, someone said smiles per mile or smiles per gallon. Smiles per gallon. And I think, yeah, mopeds are smiles per gallon all the way. Yeah. All the way.
Dude. Hell yeah. Well, I think that's a good fucking stopping point, dude. Like, I'm into it. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know.
Oh, it's been funny.
You stumbled into mopeds and you're fucking, your brain's just like, you know, wired a little different than a lot of us. And you're dreaming about how to do different things.
Good way of stating it, yes.
And that's what it takes sometimes, dude. We can only do the same shit for so long, you know? It's like, these things are old as dirt. Like, someone's gonna change the game.
Yeah.
So this is a cool way they could innovate. Go. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, if I get one of these modified for a poop, I'll send one your way.
Oh, dude, let me know. Let's go. I'll be your test dummy, dude. Let's get it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Wear your helmet.
Definitely that.
Just okay.
Have someone professional build the wheel for me. Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah.
Like, Lizzie, they're going to come your way.
Yeah. It's going to go there first. Yeah.
Like, sure. I'm not building it.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, sick. Oh, man. Fuck. I don't know. Anything you want to ask me or say or whatever before we get off?
No, I'm so thrilled to have been on here. Thanks for reaching out. And I'll keep you guys posted with any other wacky shit that I do. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. I really appreciate it. No, great opportunity. It,
dude. Like, you're doing cool shit. Like, that's what the internet's for, man. Fucking see
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool shit. And, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Hell yeah. All right, man. Well, it's good talking to you, bud. Like,
great talking to you.
Tell everyone where they can find you on the Instagram and stuff.
Worth It LLC at all of the stuff, Instagram, Facebook, Gmail, whatever. Just reach out. If you got any questions, let me know.
And if you guys got any intakes, he's holding.
There's some other stuff I'm supposed to be working on. I've had a lot of requests for different bikes, and I just haven't gotten around to them. But the pooks were just so easy to work on, so that's why I've been doing them.
Hell yeah. All right, dude. Well, fucking, I have at it. Hopefully you can make it out to rally sometime. We'll see you out there in the world.
I hope so.
And, awesome. You know, you ever get some other shit you want to talk about, dude, just let me know. We'll bring it up. Let's go.
Any other weird shit, I will let you know.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Later.
All right. Bye.
Dude. Another episode down, boys and girls and guys and all fucking whatever, bro. Dude. Worth It LLC. Check out his Instagram if you want to see what this hub thing looks like. It's pretty interesting. Like, I think one that shifts automatically, if you could set when it shifts, I think that'd be cool. Like, being able to manually shift your gears when you feel like it on a single speed bike, that could be cool. If it's got like a smooth shift, like it doesn't like bog back down like a Tomos or like, you know what I'm saying? When you get like a normal shift bike, and it's like, oh, you're up, it's RPMs up, and like you shift and kind of like you're starting over again a little bit. Like, unless your shit's tuned good, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I think it's a really cool idea, and it's something that no one else that I know of is fucking tried. So I'm interested to see like where it goes. Like, you know, we got to do E50, single speed E50, dude. or, you know, whatever single speed bike you're rocking, but like, you guys need some toys too, right? You need more bells and whistles to fucking try to play with all these variated and fucking wannabe scooters and all this other shit that's going on, man. Thomas just got some new fancy gearbox that Treatland was selling, like, on his Vespa today, and fucking just, you know, first ride out, fucking blasted us on the ridge, like, left us in the dust, dude. I'm like, damn, like, and he's like, yeah, like, it still needs a little work, but, like, it's fucking crushing already out the gates. And I'm like, damn, dude, I'm like, I don't know, you get it. Mopeds are fun, they're fast, they're doing all the things. Still, season's about to pick up, man. Like, you know, like I said, we got on the road today. Weather is super nice. It's getting warmer week by week. Like, I know moped scene is season's definitely, like, upon us, man. Like I said, first rally coming up is going to be the Firing Squad presents Lock, Stock, and Two Stroke and Barrels, April 19th through the 21st. Los Muranos is throwing a rally beginning of May. Fucking Jolly Ranchers is presenting a rally, which is kind of cool. I typically don't think about Jolly Ranchers when I'm thinking about someone throwing a rally. Like, I think that whole area is kind of like had a couple different clubs. I think they were going back and forth or trading. I can't remember all the details. I've never gone, but I don't know. Lots of stuff happening, dude. Whiskey Business 3 is going to go down in Cleveland in July. I meant June. Try to get someone on from Will on to talk about that rally. You know, if you guys feel like racing, there's still Moped GP East. There's Baker's Dozen coming up. There's a ton of stuff. If you guys want to update on the rally season that's currently posted, go to mopedarmy.com. Check out the calendar. It's on the front page. And if you guys, you know, got some stuff you want to get into, you want to talk mopeds, you know, you got a new club or something you want to bring up, like, hit me up at mopedmondaypodcast@gmail.com or hit me on Instagram at mopedmondaypodcast and we'll schedule something and get into it, dude. Like, I'm down if you're down. Yeah, that's about it. Check out the homie Cornped. He's got a new blog posted, cornped.com, and he's got some shirts and some stickers and a bunch of cool stuff for sale. So, you know, hit up the homie. And yeah, you want to support the podcast, we got stuff for sale at mopedmonday.com. And that's about it, man. Like, hopefully I can order these parts for my derby this week. I'm gonna see. I'd like to buy some parts and get that bike going. Maybe fix that, maybe fix my Hobbit. I'm trying to get, like, back in the game, dude. Have like two or three runners. Like, you know, I'm trying to switch it up. I'm tired of riding the same bike. You know what I'm saying? You get bored riding the same bike all the time. It's like, it's fun, I enjoy it, I love my moped, but I just want to ride something different every once in a while. So that's it. Fuck your car, ride a moped.
So what are your favorite moped sounds?
Fuck your car, ride a moped.
I don't know, like Touch of Flower, is it moving? Like, nah, feel pretty locked up. Sounds like you're fucked, dude.
Oh boy.
Womp womp womp, you fucking blew it!